We're in the book of Acts chapter 1. We're going to take the verse 14, just as our text today. Just to, before we begin to mention, there is a little leaflet in the porch. I would like every Christian in the church to have one. It's a little article that was prepared by Dr. Frank McClelland, the senior minister of our Toronto church, many years ago on the prayer meeting. It gives practical help, practical guidance and advice for coming and taking part in the prayer meetings of the church. It's very good, very profitable. Would like you to have one. Remember to take it as you're going from the meetings, and encourage you to read over it very carefully. Pray over it. Sometimes the old Christians would talk about read it through and pray it in. And that's what I'd like you to do with this leaflet. Read it through, and then in your own prayer times, in your own closet, pray it in to your own heart and to your own soul. It does go very well with the message that we're going to bring this morning. The two will, as it were, dovetail together. So please remember to take that, and take copies for others if they're absent, or others that you think might benefit from it. Acts 1 verse 14, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren." Think of the words there at the very beginning. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. I'd like to ask a question just at the very beginning this morning that I'd like you to consider personally, carefully, even in your own heart, just at the very beginning of the message, just as we're gathered with God's word in our hands. I'd like you to think of this question. How important is the prayer meeting? How important is the prayer meeting of the church to you personally? How important is the prayer meetings of the church to us as a congregation, as a band of God's people? Can I stress to you, men and women, when we're talking about the prayer meeting, we're talking about what is the most important meeting of the church. And we couldn't emphasize that enough to you. And I want to underscore that on every heart here today. Without a good, vibrant prayer meeting in the church, all the other meetings and all the other activities, they're going to be weak and they're going to be barren. They're not going to bear the fruit that we would desire and the fruit that we would look for. The sad thing is that sometimes the attendances at the prayer meetings don't indicate that it is the most important meeting of the church, and that it's the most important meeting to us as God's people. I want you just to think about that for a moment or two. I want you to think especially of the prayer meetings held before the services. The prayer meeting this morning, the Sabbath morning, the Lord's Day, the prayer meeting held before the morning meeting, the prayer meeting held before the meeting that we have the biggest, the greatest attendance at. And you know how many people were present at that prayer meeting this morning from this congregation? Just 9 people. Couldn't even get it into double figures. Are you ashamed of that? Are you embarrassed about it? You know you ought to be. As a congregation, we ought to be. Why so few, brethren and sisters? Why is that? Will you ponder that carefully this morning? Is it laziness? Couldn't be bothered to get out of bed early enough to be at the prayer meeting? To be at God's house? We're not talking here about some mundane, some worldly thing. We're talking about the things of God. Couldn't get out of bed early enough to be at the prayer meeting? Is that the reason? Is it carelessness? Not really that bothered. Just really not that concerned about spending time in prayer. You think of it, brethren and sisters. Your lack of attendance, it says, His blessing, His presence, His help, His power. Those things don't really matter to me. Because remember, that's why we gather in the prayer meetings. To ask God that He might be pleased to give those great mercies to us. You think of your children, your grandchildren in the Sunday school. Would you not want to come to the prayer meeting and pray for them that God's word would touch their hearts, that it might speak to them, that God might send us other children into the Sunday school, leave the children to the Sunday school and then stay, come in to the prayer meetings yourself? Isn't it true, brethren and sisters, many Christians today, they're cold, apathetic, indifferent. Be honest now. Indifferent to the prayer meetings of the church. It's a meeting that largely is forgotten. A meeting that's largely neglected by the people of God. And that's something that's to be greatly lamented. And I know all sorts of excuses are made for not being there. Can I say to you, as you think of the excuses, you know in your own heart today, you know the excuse that you would give if you were asked why you weren't there or why you don't come at all. Can I point out to you that the question is not, will the answer, the excuse that you give, will it satisfy other Christians? Will it keep the minister happy? That's not really the question, men and women. The question is, will it be of any value on the day of judgment when the Lord asks you why you didn't attend the prayer meetings at all or why you didn't attend them more faithfully and more regularly? You know the truth? Many of the excuses given, they're only wood, hay and stubble. They'll just be burnt to ashes on that day when you stand before God. Remember, above all else, brethren and sisters, above all else, we need a revival in prayer. We need a revival in the prayer meetings of the church. If we want to have a healthy church, vibrant, bearing fruit, we must have healthy prayer meetings in this church. And I don't want this morning just to be another message. Just to be another message on the prayer meeting. I've often, over the years of my ministry, spoken on the prayer meeting. I don't want this just to be another message. I want this to be a call from God, a call to this congregation for old-fashioned prayer warriors in this church. Because men and women, that's the need of the hour. Those among God's people here in this congregation that will give unwavering support to the prayer meetings of this church. Not just for a week or two or a month or two, because that often happens when you hear a message like this. Not just for a week or two, but for the rest of your days. We need, men and women, those who will not be diverted. Those who will not be discouraged from coming and praying, regardless of what happens and regardless of what comes into your life or crosses your path. We need those who will not be diverted from coming to pray down God's blessing upon this church and upon its witness. And I appeal to you this morning, if you've never been to the prayer meeting, start to come in the weeks that lie ahead. If your attendance has been sporadic, to say the least, then I encourage you to be more consistent in your attendance at the prayer meetings. And if you're one of those people that for some reason, whatever it might be in the past, your attendance has lapsed and you haven't been for a long time, then I urge you, start again, attending and coming and taking part, participating in the prayer meetings of the church. I want to urge you all today, brethren and sisters, to focus on the prayer meeting afresh. and see even from the New Testament, how vitally important this meeting is to the future of this church, and to the witness that will be made in this city. I want you to notice a few things we're told here about the prayer meeting. Notice the priority of the prayer meeting. The text says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Can I ask you the important thing to note is the priority that the early church gave to their prayer meetings. I want you to see the first thing that they did, the first meeting that they held in carrying out the Great Commission, it was a prayer meeting. That might strike you. You might have thought it had been better to start with some other meeting. But here's the example of the early church. They started with a prayer meeting. And brethren and sisters, this is the place the prayer meeting needs to have in the life of the church. I want to impress that on your hearts this morning. The prayer meeting must have priority over everything else. And I pray that through something of what is said this morning, that truth will grip your heart this morning. If we want the Lord to bless, if we want the Lord to work, if we want this town to be moved, this town to be stirred, then here's what's needed to get back again to the prayer meetings of the church. And remember, that is something that is stressed in many places in the scriptures. Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all, writing to Timothy, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, givings of thanks be made for all men. Isn't it clear? It ought to have first place in the plans, in the programs of the church. Before everything else, we must give time to prayer. Just think of this. What was the first meeting held in the continent of Europe? What was the first church meeting held in the continent of Europe? You ever notice that as you read through the book of Acts? It was a prayer meeting. Do you remember Paul at Philippi? Philippi and Macedonia, part of Europe. And when Paul was in Philippi, they went down to a river, to a place where prayer was wont to be made. Will you see that today, men and women? The work of the gospel in Europe, it began in a prayer meeting. And for us Europeans, that should be of special interest. That ought to be of special encouragement to us. Brethren and sisters, that is the place where every work for God begins. Begins in the prayer meeting. And I want to urge you today to follow that example. Begin your labors. Your labors for the Lord here in the city of Armagh. Begin them in the prayer meetings of this church. Do you ever notice what the Savior said? My house shall be called a house of prayer. He was quoting from Isaiah in the Old Testament scriptures. Do you think of those words and ask, what is to be the primary work? What's to be the primary business of all that goes on in God's house from week to week? And the answer, men and women, is prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Notice he didn't say, my house shall be called a house of preaching. And preaching is given a prominent, a central place in the work of God and the work of the gospel. But he didn't say, my house shall be called a house of preaching. He didn't say, my house shall be called a house of praise. And we are to praise the Lord. But remember, the most of your praising, do you know where it ought to be done? In the prayer meeting. Prayer and praise, they go together. Isn't there nearly a fad today in church circles with praise services and gospel concerts? People would compass the whole country to be at a gospel concert. They would sit the whole evening. Even if there's a price tag that's put upon it, a ticket that has to be bought, that's not an obstacle. But men and women, remember, my house first and foremost shall be called a house of praise. Above everything else, this building and this congregation should be known as a place of prayer. That's where the emphasis ought to be. And if it's not, then the priorities of your life are wrong. You're not following the order that God has set down in His Word. And I want to urge you all today, with all my heart, as one day we'll all answer to God, but I want to urge you to make the prayer meetings of this church a priority in your life, in your home, in your family. Make sure, particularly on a Thursday night, that your family is represented. If that is at all possible, you make sure your family is represented in that meeting. Especially if you have a position in the church, especially if you have a position in the work, it goes without saying, brethren and sisters, you should be there. You of all people should make the prayer meeting a priority in your life. You want God to bless your labors, whatever aspect of the work that you're involved in. Here's where it begins, brethren and sisters. Here's where we begin to seek and to receive His blessing as we meet with God in prayer. And can I warn you all today to be careful what you say about the church and about the prayer meetings of the church? Do you remember the spies that were sent into Canaan for 40 days? The Bible says they brought back an evil report. And that evil report kept Israel out of the promised land for a very long time, for 40 years. Can I ask you, what have you said, maybe in the past, about the prayer meetings of this church? Have you brought to others an evil report of the attendances, maybe what goes on, the participation, the spirit of the meetings? An evil report. Is that why others don't come? Was it because of you? What you said? Is it because of what you did that they think the prayer meeting isn't really that important? Was your words, your influence, that put them off coming to the prayer meeting at all? Can I say to you what you need to do if you've done that? Is go to that person and tell them that you were wrong in the things that you said. And encourage them at all times. Encourage others to come to the prayer meetings of the church. You see, if you don't put those things right, then you will wander. This church may wander too in the spiritual wilderness for many years to come. Those things grieve the Spirit, remember, and cause Him to withdraw His presence from us. The priority, never forget, men and women, the priority, the prominence of the prayer meeting here in the life of the early church. Can I say a word as well about persistence at the prayer meeting? It says these all continued. Mark it well. They all continued. And it says they all. Isn't that something just to ponder on, to pause and to think about? They all continued. You know, it's one thing to start to attend, and it's one thing to come now and again just to pass yourself or salve your conscience, but it's another thing to continue. It's another thing to keep at it. I wonder, are you willing for that today? Are you willing to go all the way with God? Are you willing, brethren and sisters, to pay the price in your own life, whatever it takes, to get His blessing and experience His blessing upon the church? Can I urge you to look for that word continued as you read through the book of Acts? Their continuance, that was a mark of these early Christians. For example, in Acts 2, they continued steadfastly the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Their continuance, that's what they were noted for. Continuance in the things of God. Especially notice they continued in prayers. They didn't slack, they didn't quit, they didn't turn back, they didn't faint, they didn't give up. Even when the meetings were hard, even when the meetings were difficult, Even when there was dearth and barrenness and the tide went out, they still held on to God for his blessing. And I urge you, brethren and sisters, to do the same. Remember when Peter was in prison, Acts 12, another record of one of the great New Testament prayer meetings, it says that prayer was made without ceasing. Notice the words, without ceasing. Means they didn't stop. They kept coming, they kept praying. Will you do that? Will you live like that? Will you follow in that pattern? The Savior said men ought always to pray and not to faint. I wonder, could we take time to consider it? How many in this meeting this morning have fainted in prayer? How many have fainted in prayer meeting attendance? The answer didn't come as quickly as you wanted it, so you gave up. You stopped coming. Need to get back to the prayer meetings, brethren and sisters. There's a man in the Old Testament, Doeg. It's an unusual name. He was a servant of King Saul. But here's what we're told. Here's what distinguished him. He was detained before the Lord. And you know, brethren and sisters, that's what this church needs. Christians detained. Not in front of the television, but at the throne of grace. Detained in the prayer meetings. Can't get them away. That's what it means. Can't get them away from those vital things. How rare that is, brethren and sisters. How rare such a Christian is in the day in which we live. Can I ask you, will you be one of those Christians detained before the Lord? Here's the great question, you see. How much do you really want God's blessing? How much do you really want it? How much do you really want the power of God in your life? How much do you want to see the kingdom of Christ extended? How great a burden have you to really see souls saved? What price are you willing to pay to get the blessing of God come down in your life and upon your family? Do you want it enough, brethren and sisters, that you'll stay on your knees, however hard that may be and however long it may be, but you'll stay on your knees until it comes and until you get it? Like Jacob, I'll not let thee go. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Priority of the prayer meeting. Persistence. Think of the peace of the prayer meeting. Notice the words there in the text, the verse 14. These all continued with one accord. Here's the peace that existed in this church, these prayer meetings. Isn't it tragic, brethren and sisters? Tragic in the days in which we live to hear of so much trouble among Christians. To hear of so much trouble that's found in the churches of Christ. There's the noise of war in the camp. There's war and rumors of wars. Not just among countries, but wars and rumors of wars among Christians and among God's people in the congregations all across the land. How very, very sad. How very, very sad that is. You think of those words, with one accord. In other words, they were united. There was no divisions. There was no splits. There was no fights. Is that true of us, brethren and sisters, true of this church? That was true of the Jerusalem church. That was the mark of the Jerusalem church. Even when they met for prayer, the New Testament says they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. What a blessing that is, brethren and sisters. But the question is it a mark of this church? Is it a mark of our prayer meetings? We pray with one accord. Lift our voices to God with one accord. There was a famous Presbyterian preacher in the States, Clarence McCartney. Whenever he was a lad growing up and the mother would send him off to Sunday school in the morning, they would walk 10 miles to Sunday school. and they would walk 10 miles home, nearly from Armagh to Portadown. Imagine that. Do you think we would get many at Sunday school? We have a big enough job getting children to Sunday school today, and we nearly drive them to the very door. 10 miles to Sunday school and 10 miles home. Walked many miles to school every day as well. One of the practices the mother had when they were leaving home in the morning, she'd give them a verse from God's word to think about and to talk about as they walked together along the way. And one of the verses the mother would often give them was this: "See that ye fall not out by the way." Do you remember Joseph's words to his brothers when they were going back to Canaan to tell their father that Joseph was still alive? "See that ye fall not out by the way." Will you take those words to heart this morning, brethren and sisters? Don't be fallen out as God's people, as we make our way along the path to heaven. Maybe that has happened. Maybe you've fallen out with some other believers. Maybe recently, maybe years ago, and it's still not right, still festering away. I want you to see, brethren and sisters, it's a serious thing, that division among the people of God. It's hindering the prayers, and it's hindering the blessing, and it's hindering the work. Didn't the Savior say, "If two of you shall agree on earth"? The Lord is looking, he's asking, he's calling for agreement in the church. "If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done." It's written in the context of prayer. "Done of your Father which is in heaven." Is it found in this church, brethren and sisters? The agreement the Lord's looking for among all of us people? You think of it like this: is there disagreement today in your marriage? Even Christians have marital problems. Sadly, more so today in the day in which we live. Remember, those things have serious consequences in the home, the family, the children, and so on. Even spiritually, one of the serious consequences has to do with prayer. Didn't Peter teach that? "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Take it in. The state of your marriage can be an obstacle to blessing. Blessing in the home and blessing in the church. Is there disagreement in your marriage? Is there disagreement with a member of this church? Didn't the Savior say, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Here's a good question, brethren and sisters, in the light of that text. What do you remember when you bow down to pray? What comes into your mind? What do you remember when you come to the prayer meeting of the church? A fallout? A disagreement? The Savior says that can happen. "There rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee." Do you remember a disagreement with a member of the congregation? Is that why you can't pray in the meetings? It's still on your heart and on your conscience, and it troubles you. Is that what's holding you back? Is that what's robbing you of liberty in the prayer meetings of the church? Disagreements are a hindrance, brethren and sisters, and they need to be acknowledged. They need to be confessed. Are you willing to do that today, that disagreement? Settle it. Deal with it. You think of this. What is needed to sort out those disagreements? Well, probably first and foremost, humility. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves." Will you do that today? Humble yourself and acknowledge the wrong that was done. Tell the person that was concerned, and tell the Lord himself. Peace in the prayer meetings. One other thing, I'll do this one quickly. The power of the prayer meeting. The beginning of chapter 2, verse 4, it says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What happened, men and women, after they gave this priority to prayer? The power of God came down. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. But where did the power come down? Where were they, brethren and sisters? Where did they get it? They got it in the prayer meeting. They were gathered together to pray when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And let's be honest, men and women. Remember, our hearts are naked and open today before Him with whom we'll have to do. And let's be honest. Isn't that what is really missing in our lives, our witness? The power. There's no power in our meetings. There's not the power there ought to be in our labours. And the message is, if we want that power, here is where we must go. And here is where we must stay. This is where we must wait, brethren and sisters, until that power comes down upon us. The Saviour told the disciples before He ascended to heaven, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." They needed to wait. The Saviour told them that. Tarry. He was talking about waiting in the prayer meeting. That's where He sent them. Tarry until ye be endued. Need to wait collectively on prayer until they had the power for the job. Until they had the power of God for the service that He had set them to do. And brethren and sisters, I want with all my heart today to tell you, the path to power and the path to blessing and the work of God, it's still the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. This is the only place that it can be found and it can be obtained, in an old-fashioned prayer meeting. And oh, that God might give them to us. Oh, that He would. I say this to you just in closing. Back in 1949, Dr. Paisley and three other men, one of them was Dr. John Douglas, just a lad of maybe 15 or 16, they held prayer meetings over a whole weekend. They were planning to hold open air meetings down in Belfast City Centre. And Dr. Paisley felt that before they would begin those meetings, they needed to bring them to the Lord and seek His power, seek His help. They prayed over the whole weekend. They even prayed through the night. If I'm not mistaken, two full nights they spent wrestling with God. And those were the meetings, men and women, that changed His life and changed His ministry and changed His church and brought down the power of God upon the ministry of the gospel. Those prayer meetings. And the road to power, brethren and sisters, the way to power is unchanged. It's still the same today. There is no alternative. No matter what men might think, no matter what men will say or suggest to you, and there is a sort of mentality abroad, what can we do now? What can we think of now? What can we plan now to try and get the crowds in? And certainly, brethren and sisters, we have things to do ourselves. We need to be wise. But there is no alternative, men and women. There is no substitute on the road to blessing. Oh, that you might see that today. There is no substitute for getting down upon our knees and crying on to God that He might come and do this mighty work for us. He will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. That's just how simple it is. Come to the meetings and plead with God to give us that power. And if you want to see God change this church, brethren and sisters, if you want God to come and change our meetings, It will only happen. It will only happen if we renew our focus as a congregation on the prayer meetings of this church. Will you do it? Will you take it upon your heart today? A call for old-fashioned prayer warriors. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Oh, by his grace, brethren and sisters, that the Lord might enable us to do the same. May he take his word today, may he write it mightily, powerfully upon every heart. 628.